Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Really good to be with you. We're coming to you live from the Noble Gold Studios. And just real quickly, folks, listen, if you got your retirement in the bank, you're being foolish. Now, there's too much information out there about Dodd-Frank. They can take it. They can take it from UCC Section 8, and you can have your money taken from you to put anywhere they want. Read the law. Noble Gold can help you with this. They've helped me. I've been a customer for 8 years. Call 877-646-5347, 877-646-5347. Well, our guest is Steve Stern. First time appearance on the Common Sense Show. We're glad to have him. We're kindred spirits already. I'm in Arizona. We're the home of voter fraud. We export criminality and voting to the other parts of the nation. And Steve is an activist in this. He's worked with Michelle Swinnick, who we've had on the show. He knows all about Tina Peters, who's been on our show. Liz Harris, who I've had on the show multiple times, being from Arizona as well. In fact, Michelle and I used to do Tea Party stuff together. Not Michelle, excuse me, Liz Harris. But I'm telling you, this is going to be something that we need to reawaken in this country, because the only hope the left have of turning over Congress in the midterm elections is to cheat. And we need to call attention to voter fraud, the whole nine yards, get everybody on board and make sure this doesn't happen. Steve, good to have you on the show. I've heard so many good things about you from our mutual friend, Sam Anthony, from Your News. And I can't wait to hear what you have to say. But I feel for a long time like I've been outnumbered in Arizona. And Liz Harris and I were two of the lone voices in the wilderness speaking against what was going on.
Well, yeah, that's pretty true, and I'm going to tell you how we're going to combat all this stuff because we've worked on this for about 3 years. If you can see in the background, there's two pictures of myself and President Trump. And during that time, how all this happened, we're going to explain. We're going to talk about precinct strategy and election security, election integrity, whatever you want to call it. We've been doing this for a long time. And how I got involved, I'm the vice chair of Broward County Republican Party. I've been involved there for 25 years. And when I first got in, a funny thing happened, and this is happening still all over the country. So when I got in about 25 years ago, I called the Republican Party in Broward County. Nobody called back for 3 months. Then they finally called back and I said, "Well, I'd like to join." I said, "Oh, great, we'll send you an application." Well, it took them 3 months to send an application. Well, now you're talking about 6 months of wasted time. So I finally get in after about 7 months, and I go to my first meeting, and I go there, and I expect to get booklets and everything, to know what I'm doing. Not a person spoke to me. So I figured I'd wait till one meeting. Next meeting I go to, the same thing happens. So I end up going to the chairman, and I said, "Madam Chairman, I'd like to take over the phones because nobody's really answering the phone." "Oh, that's terrific." I said, "Well, I'd like to also be the chairman of the membership committee." "Oh, that's great because we don't have anybody there." Well, I saw it was a social club and nothing was happening. So what happened is I go to the phones and I answer the phones and there's 185 messages. So I started calling the people, apologizing, to them. And we got 15 new members. And I said to myself, "This is insane. Here, these people want to join. Nobody cares about this thing. What in the heck's going on?" So fast forward this to about 4 years. A lot happened. And about 4 or 5 years ago, I'm watching Steve Bannon and a guy up there comes on there, Dan Schultz. So I called Dan up and I said to Dan, "I got some success stories because I see you were on there and you say, hey, they're looking for success stories." And I said, "I'm in Fort Lauderdale and I'm the membership chair and we're getting a lot of people joining up because I'm calling 100 people a week and asking them to join." So he says, "Oh, that's terrific. Let me speak to Steve and see if he can get you on the show." Well, about 3 weeks ago, I got a text and he said, we're gonna get you on the show in a couple of days, but you got to have Skype." Well, I had no idea what Skype was, so I get Skype, and they give me a date, and it's going to be. They tell me I'm going to be on at 10:15. Well, I got up about 3 o'clock in the morning because, here you're going to be in front of 1 million or 2 million people. I've never been on TV, so I get my note card at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm making some notes of what I want to say, and I never went back to sleep. So I get on about 10:15, and I'm listening in the background to Steve Bannon, and he's talking to a couple of the people, and Cameron texts me and says, "Hey, we're running a little late. You'll be on about 10:45." I said, "Oh, that's great." Okay, 10:45 come in, and I'm listening to everybody in the background doing commercials, and I hear what Steve says. And it's now 10:45, and they text me again. "Well, you know, we're going to move you to 11:15. Well, 11:15 comes in. I'm still sitting there. I lost 5 pounds of sweat because, you know, you're sitting there and you're expecting to get on. You forget everything you're going to say. Well, anyway, I get on at 11:46. I figured they never even put me on, but anyway, they got me on 11:46. I talk my talk, and about 2 days later, they text me and they sent me a copy of the thing, and I looked at it to see what I said because I had no idea, and it sounded pretty good. And he texts me back and says, "Hey, we got so many people that texted us and called wanting to get your number and information because they wanted to know how to join and get involved in Precinct Tragedy and loved your story." So I gave him the information, said, "Wait, we'll put you back on." And what I did was I started to make cards because I realized when you get on, and I'm a businessman for 71 years, so we have these cards which I put up, and people are able to see my phone number, my email, my flag shirt. And we got a lot of phone calls, and we started doing that. And Stephen's had on many, many times. So what happened was we wanted to get President Trump to endorse Precinct Strategy. And Precinct Strategy is simple. If you go to www.precinctstrategy.com and or you buy Dan's book, it tells you everything you want to know about the Republican Party and how to get involved. So what happened is we talked to Dan. Dan and I started working together. Steve Bannon got involved because he was working with Dan for 14 years on getting people involved in Precinct Strategy. Dan had met him down in Texas, and they were really instrumental in doing this. And I started getting involved, and Steve liked the way I was because I'm a born salesman, and I've been in business since I'm 12 years old, and I'm able to sell a product, and I got better and better, and I got more people involved. And then he said to me, "Steve, I know you're out there, you're a little bit older." I said, I've heard a lot of stories that, you know, you work around the clock." He said, "Do me a favor, I'd like to get some success stories from around the country, like you." I said, "Sure." Well, this took a lot of work because you had to call states. I didn't know these people. So the first one I get is a guy in New Mexico because I felt that we should try to get some of the left-leaning states to be able to become more precinct strategy orientated. So I get the guy on from New Mexico, and he texts me a little thing. He says, "Why the heck are you getting somebody on from New Mexico when we got all these red states that are doing through?" I said, "Steve, we want to get the blue states turned to red. So we need to get these people involved." And because, and he said, "Oh, that's a good idea." So the next one I got was Delaware, and he started back again on me. "Why the heck are you getting Delaware?" I said, "Well, that's where Biden is." And I said, "You know, the Democrats are strong there. Let's try to do it." So anyway, we got about 30 different people on. He was ecstatic because I found people that had great success stories. And we'll talk a little about that later. Now, let's go back to the two pictures over here, and we'll explain what happened. Because Liz Harrington, myself, Steve Bannon, Dan Schultz got together on a conference call, and we were talking about asking President Trump to endorse Precinct Strategy. He did that. So during this particular thing on on one of these pictures back here, which is back here, that's the first one that I met President Trump. And this was in the arena where the Panthers play, and it was 17,000 people there. And it was an event that I was invited to because one of my candidates was running against Debbie Wasserman Schultz had paid to see President Trump. And the lady who was running that, I had got her about 1,000 people to come. And she got me into this thing for free. So there was 25 people that paid and myself. Now, what happened was we started about 9 o'clock in the morning with meetings with everybody from Trump's son to Kash Patel, many, many different people. We'd go from room to room. We'd sit down and talk to some of these people, and these 25 people who were, a lot of them were high-end people, donors for Trump. So about 4 o'clock, I mean, here I'm 80 something years old and I'm beat because from 9 to 4, we just went from place to place. We ate. And then he said, "Okay, you're going to go visit with President Trump." At that point, I was totally exhausted, but I got to sit down for about 15 minutes. And then they brought us into a room. They made us give them our cell phones, our pens, everything that we had, the Secret Service in there, but it was extremely hot in there. And I was about to pass out until they started taking pictures. And when I went up to see President Trump, I asked him, "Do you know what Precinct Strategy was?" And he said, "No, I don't, but we're going to be in a conference here for about 30, 40 minutes. We're going to give everybody 3 minutes. I want you to tell me what Precinct Strategy is and explain a little bit to me." So we went around the room. I was about the third speaker. And I explained to him, and he said to me, if I knew about precinct strategy, I would have won the last election. And so he said, I have three assistants here. Give them each of you my car, your card, and I want you to come up to Mar-a-Lago to visit me and talk a little bit more about precinct strategy and what I can do to help. Well, I did that, and of course, none of the assistants ever called me. So as a good salesman, I just kept calling till I found two of his secretaries, called his secretaries, explained to them what happened, and they said, oh, of course, we'll have you come up there. So 2 weeks before the picture on the behind me, which was in Mar-a-Lago, I was supposed to go up there, and they canceled the trip because he had to go to New York. So I figured I'd never get up to see him again. But they called me on a and a strange thing happened because the day they called me to come up there, we were actually having an event for President Trump. So I was up there at 4 o'clock, and 6 o'clock I was involved with Jexit and with United American, where we did a big event for Trump with about 250 people and presented him with an award for everything he did for Israel. So it was funny because I was both up there at both times. So at 4 o'clock, I get in there, the Secret Service, pat you down. My wife was with me, my grandson. And we go up there, and this was 2 days before the last election. And so I sat down, and he said, brought him a couple of flag shirts, and he thanked me very much for that. And he said, and he had Liz Harrington fly in. And he said, I know we talked about precinct. The guy's got an unbelievable memory. He says, Steve, I know we talked about precinct strategy before. Now, how the heck he remembered that? I have no idea. But he did. And he said, give me a little time here. We're going to be here for about 45 minutes because I'm calling my pollsters. I'm trying to find out what's going on in the election. I said, well, President Trump, I got two candidates that I'd like to tell you about. I know it's late. It's 2 days before the election. Would you endorse them? I thought that was a strange thing. He said, well, let me consider it. So he called his pollsters, and both of the candidates, one was from Vermont and one's from New Hampshire, both were running for Congress. And his pollster said they were both down about 5 or 6 points. He says, Steve, I'm going to endorse him anyway. He says, because you're here, you're asking me to do that. I said, well, that's great. So he calls the first guy, and the guy doesn't answer the phone, and we'll go a little bit out of there. I called the guy the next day. I said, did you call back President Trump? He said, no. I said, well, they left you a message. He said, well, I figured they'd call me again. I said, are you crazy? President Trump wants to endorse you. Go call him. So he called him, and President Trump actually endorsed him, and he endorsed the other candidate too. So during our conversations, he came up with a couple of questions to me, and I asked him if he would talk about precinct strategy, getting people involved at his rallies. Well, when I first asked him, he never said anything about it. He just kept talking about different things. At the end, he did say he would do that, which was great. But he asked me a question, which turned my whole life around pretty much. He said, Steve, what do you think about the 2024 election? I said, well, we do this precinct strategy call every 2 weeks, and we don't really get into election integrity, but I know the election was stolen. He said, of course it was stolen. That's why I lost it. He said, why don't you do this? Why don't you move your election integrity and your precinct strategy together and bring people on to start to explain to people what's going on with election integrity? Well, I said, first of all, I'm not an expert in that. He said, well, look, get the experts on. Well, about 5 weeks later, after calling a lot of our friends, because we did the same thing with precinct strategy, we started our first election integrity precinct strategy call. We had 500 people on. Well, that was great, and we were getting 500 to 700 people on time. Then the strange thing happened. About a year and a half ago, I was on Steve Bannon in the morning, and he would put me on pretty much every time that we'd have an election and precinct strategy call. He thought it was important, and he was the instigator of precinct strategy. So that morning, he put me on, and we did a little strange thing. I said to the producer, would you put my email on the bottom of the screen? And you asked me why I did that, because when I put this thing up and I take it down, people don't always have time to see sstern1054@gmail.com. So he puts my email on the bottom, and he normally gives me about 4 or 5 minutes. Well, this day he gave me 10. I was unprepared, and I started talking, and we talked about the election tour, and he asked me a lot of questions. And I said, well, I put my email on the bottom of the screen because I want people to sign up for this thing. He said, that's a great idea. So we had about 1,000 people sign up, which was unbelievable when you think about that. But then before I got off, he said, Steve, I'm going to do you a big favor. I'm going to put this live on the War Room, and I'll get her. And I said, Mr. Bannon, that's fantastic. Thank you so much for doing that, because I never even thought about that. So that started the big change. So the next day, Maureen Bannon's daughter texted me and said, "Hey, we had 60,000 people on our thing for you." She said the people were, you know, were putting stuff in chat and everything like that. They loved it, that they could hear people and do that. So then I got the bright idea. I said, "Look, as an 83-year-old guy at that time, I said, you got to learn something every day." So what I learned was, hey, I got to get all the podcasters I can get together. And I started calling different friends and I said, who are the good podcasters? And I got 200 different podcasters over all this time. And then we started getting TV stations. We got OBBM Network. We got Lindell TV, Patriot TV, Cloud Hub, on and on and on. And we started building this where we had as many as 8 million people on this in 58 different countries. Now, we built something very important here. And why it's important? Well, we were getting poll watchers and poll workers. And what happened was that Susie Wiles, after Trump won, Susie Wiles texted me and said, thank you for everything you did. Well, I didn't know what I really did, but she said, well, we were told that you got us 40 or 50,000 poll watchers by getting all the programs and saying, please go to Protect the Vote. Now, I did work and get a gold star from the Republican Party, because they knew that we got all these poll watchers and they kept asking me to go on different programs. And I got on about 150 different podcasts. I got on Bannon, John Frederick, Steve Gruber, everybody on Real America Voice put me on. And we started getting poll watchers and poll workers. Now, the bad thing is that I try to work with the Republican Party, which I'm the vice chair and they should be doing that, but they were uncommitted in helping us to the extent that we had 100 experts on election integrity. They did not use any of our people. And even though President Trump won by landslide, many of the people down ballot lost. As you know, in Orange County, we lost 3 seats that we should have won, because when the election took place, during the election, we were up on election day by about 5 to 10 or 15,000 votes on each of the 3 important Congress people there. A week later, we were up by a few thousand. A week after that, they kept bringing in mail-in ballots every week for 3 weeks until they were ahead by, you know, 15 to 20,000 ballots. So Joe Hoft has been doing a lot of investigative work on this thing, and we've turned a lot of information over to the Justice Department, where they are investigating Orange County. Of course, it's not.
Let me stop you there.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
This is something that really is near and dear to my heart. We have the same problem in Maricopa County. Do you think the DOJ is actually going to take action?
Well, the biggest action we want them to take, and what we're working on, as you hear, is in Colorado with Tina Peters.
Yes.
Because Tina Peters reported everything that's going on. And, you know, and unfortunately, you didn't get on your phone, but I sent you a beautiful thing that we're sending to Tina Peters. And Tina Peters came on our show from prison twice, talking about everything that happened to her. Mike Lindell was on numerous times. He went to President Trump. We're working with many, many people all over the country trying to get her out. So what you're saying is very important, because the Justice Department is so busy doing so many different things that they're not concentrating on any one particular event. Now, you and I know that if they arrested somebody in Maricopa County or in Colorado or in Orange County right away, all these people who work in the election department would start to resign, because many of them in the blue states are you know, bad. So we're working many, many areas in trying to get, and only last week, 2 people in the United States who are election people resigned. They're starting to see the light, because the Justice Department has said, if we find anybody cheating, we will prosecute to the hill. Now, I haven't seen anything yet, because we're in contact with everybody. But one of the good news that happened was, we just got Heather Honey into the as the main person for election integrity in the Trump administration. Just happened this past week. First time they've used the grassroots people to be able to do that. Now, Cleta Mitchell is very instrumental in working with us. And she and Heather Honey, and Heather Honey has been on our program numerous times. And Steve, when he had me on this week, and unfortunately we couldn't get to you to do the Arizona thing. So this week we had Arizona. We had about 5 million people on it. We had 100 different podcasters doing that. Bannon got 60,000. Stern American, which is my Rumble channel, had 30,000 people. And what we planned to do about 4 months ago, we started having a specialization of each state. So we have done Michigan, Wisconsin, California. Then we just did Arizona this past week. We had Gina Svoboda on, who is the chair of the Republican Party in Arizona. And the good news is she called one of the head people in the Republican Party who is behind the scenes, who I just got actually. She called me when I was in Spain. And we've been in contact, and she's going to help us because the RNC did not help us during the Trump campaign. And even, like I said, even though Trump won by landslide, we lost a lot of down ballots. But I will tell everybody why we won. The reason we won this time is because the RNC, prior to this elections, would always sue after the fact. But this time they started suing prior. What happened is they sued Detroit because Detroit had 1,500 poll watchers and poll workers for the Democrats and 50 for the Republicans. They immediately sued, and we were able to get over 500 poll watchers and poll workers, which made a difference. And the same thing happened in Wisconsin, in Madison, Wisconsin, or one of the other towns. They found three trucks with ballots from California coming in printed, trying to stick them in on the election, but they stopped them and they sued and they won. And so they did many, many lawsuits. They had 5,000 lawyers. The difference is also we got them to help. We weren't all only instrumental people in getting in poll watchers and poll workers, but they got the last election, we had 100,000 poll watchers and poll workers. This election, we had 225,000 plus poll watchers and poll workers, which made a big difference in the election. And
Okay, I agree with you, but let me just share this thought with you. Here's my
sure.
frustration, because I've been in this for 6.5 years now. And my frustration is this: when you catch someone driving ballots in, you arrest them, you charge them, you plea deal them to go up the chain until you get to who the originators are. And that would cause pause with some of these people. But let me just share with you a real quick story. We had massive voter fraud in Yavapai County, which is north of Maricopa County. And it's historically conservative, about 90% conservative, but run by the liberals. And they cheated their butts off. I dealt with it in front of a crowd of 500 people. And I went to lunch afterwards with two state legislators who didn't have the balls to stand up and do anything. They wouldn't even come on my show. They were so frightened. And this is my frustration point. We know who a lot of these people are. Stephen Reicher, for example, the disgraced county recorder of Maricopa County that got primaried out last time. We know who they are, but no one's doing anything. And that's my frustration with this.
Well, I agree 100%. And you know, Michelle Swinnick from Save My Freedom, if you go to savemyfreedom.us, you will see all the fraud. She has all the fraud, then she spent 2 years of her life. And I agree with you that nobody really takes it serious. However, there's going to be a change because Peter Tichtin, I'm not sure if you know Peter Tichtin, he's went to school with President Trump when he was 16, very close friend of him. And Dr. Corsi, and Gerald Flynn, another guy named Goodman, who's a friend of mine, and myself, and a few other people are working on an executive order for President Trump, which is going to happen around September 15, which is going to change all the elections because what's happened, Kash Patel is coming out showing where China interfered in the last election is going to give the opportunity for President Trump to be able to do this without Congress or anybody else because when a foreign country interferes with an election, which he's going to prove with the mail-in ballots, he is going to do an EO, which is going to say one-day voting, no machines, mail-in ballots only to people that, you know, were sick or, you know, need it. But everybody's going to have to re-register, and that's going to make a big difference with the illegal aliens, going to get those off. This is going to be a massive, massive thing. You're going to see this happen. So that's going to change the whole election. Now, is the Justice Department working on different areas? Yes. We have a girl named Linda Sinkowitz, who's been at the Justice Department 5 times, fightvoterfraud.org. I got her on all kind of programs. For 2 years, she has her own program now. She's out of Connecticut. She will give you all the people that voted twice in a lot of different elections. Now, a lot of people say to Steve, could that happen? Well, very simple. Think about this. You own a home in New York. You own a home in Massachusetts or New Hampshire, and some people own three homes. So they're left-leaning. They vote in New York, then they go up to New Hampshire because they vote early in New York. Then they go up to New Hampshire where they have a house and they got a mail-in ballot, and then they go to their other house in Vermont. And this happens a lot of places, along with, you know, other places that do this. Now, exactly what you said. If we get some of them who are being going to be arrested, that's going to happen. So, because there's so much happening in this country, and because the Justice Department is working on the 2020 election, they're working on the Russiagate, and they're working on all these things, it's hard to be able to focus on one thing because you just got so many lawyers. And keep in mind that many lawyers quit, and also judges. And one of the things that you said, you know, we've been in touch with many, many of the people who fought this in court on the 2020 election. And you always know how the judge says, hey, you have no standing, right? How many play, and it happened in Arizona, happened everywhere, because a judge doesn't want to get killed. You see a judge that overturns an election, he's never gonna be around. So they're afraid to do anything. And the same thing's happening in Arizona. Peter Tichtenberg was there trying to get her out on bail, Tina Peters. And the guy just says, hey, we got to go 3 weeks later. 3 weeks later, come. Okay, we need more evidence. 5 weeks later, come. They keep postponing it until everybody forgets about it. And the funny part about it, just this morning, I was working with General Flynn, and he says, boy, President Trump's got to get Tina out of jail because it's really hurting him in this particular thing, because Lindell's been up there three or four times. He's gone on Truth Social saying, hey, Colorado got to release her. They got to do it. What they got to do is they got to make her a witness and a turning coat, and make her a government witness and get her the heck out of jail. So,
Exactly,
you know,
exactly.
everybody's working. So the first thing I tell everybody is, please, we've had many shows where we've asked everybody to call Governor Jared Polis. Anybody listening on the show, 303-866-2471. Please ask for a pardon for her. So what are we doing? We have our next election security call, which is going to be September 18th, which I like to vote, invite everybody to come on if they want a link. sstern1054@gmail.com. We'll give you a link. It's already came out today. Or you can go to Stern American Rumble, or you can go to a lot of, you can go to the War Room, many, many places. Then we're going to do something very big. I'm announcing it today on your program. It just came out today. Precinct strategy Zoom meeting, one person in every state, which is 50 states, going to be on September 30th, 1 o'clock. It'll be on Zoom. It'll be every place. We'll have all our people doing it. Dan Schultz will be on there. We're going to try to get Steve Bannon, and I've asked General Flynn to ask President Trump if he'll come on. I'm also going to speak to Jeff Clark today and ask him if I can come up to the White House and ask President Trump if he'll come on. Don't know if he'll come on, but we'll at least ask him because he endorsed precinct strategy. So certainly we want him to come up to
Okay,
live.
so that's September 30th,
September
1
30th, one
p.m.
o'clock, which
And that's Eastern time.
everything we do is Eastern time.
Okay.
And we try to do it at 1 o'clock or later because that gives everybody in California time to get on at 10 o'clock. And we're very cognizant of that because, just to give an example, a girl named Tina Celine in California called me about a year ago and said, Steve, I saw you on Steve Bannon. Can you help us turn California red? I said, hey, I'm great. I'm good. But that's a difficult situation. But let's try. So she got me about 10,000 people, many organizations. I interviewed 50 candidates that are running there. And it's funny because we, you know, people ask me, Steve, where do you get all this energy? You're 84 years old. And, you know, how do you do this? I'm running fundraisers. I'm running election security calls. I'm running precinct strategy call. I mean, well, you got to be born with it. You know, I started in business when I was 12 years old. I gave most of the business out of my son. We have the largest patriotic website called theflagshirt.com, www.theflagshirt.com. You see in the background, you see me wearing our flag shirt. So we presented this to President Trump. We're hoping he wears it July 4th. That's our biggest time. We have over 600,000 customers.
Well, I think that's awesome. Let me go back to California with you for a second, with the lady who said, "Can you help us turn red?" Paul Preston, good friend of mine, very good friend of mine. He's the head of the New California Movement.
I
And
know him well. I've been on the show
okay,
numerous times.
so all right,
Scotty Sachs too, you know Scotty Sachs?
I'm in business with Scotty Sachs.
All
So.
right, so you know I know you and I know everybody, and that's why we know what's going on. Scotty has helped us tremendously.
Well,
Paul,
I want, before you go down to Scotty
yeah,
Sachs, I
go
want to go
ahead.
back to Paul. I spoke at their convention on July 1st, and I attended a few of their legislative meetings. I mean, they're the real deal. They're set to go. They followed the West Virginia model. They've dotted their I's, they've crossed their T's. What's it going to take for President Trump to move this forward?
Well, that I don't know because of the fact that he's working on so many different things. We don't, a lot of people say that President Trump doing so many things they can't keep up with him. I mean, think about this.
I agree with that, yeah.
Every day he's coming up with something. And, one of the things that Jeff Clark is in charge of making sure that all his executive orders get taken care of. He's got a whole organization. Just because he does an executive order, people say, hey, it happens tomorrow. It does not happen tomorrow. You got to put it into action. And that's why we talk about people that are grassroots. Now, I got to tell you a great thing that happened. Because we're doing this precinct strategy, I was calling all the people that had helped me to do our different things on precinct strategy, getting people involved. And you know what the nice thing is? Seven or eight of the states have they have reached the head of the Republican Party in their state, which is fantastic because that means that we got people that have risen. And I want to tell everybody, it is not that easy in the Republican Party because we have many, many areas in the country, and I get calls. I got a call from Illinois just 2 days ago. The girl's crying because they bounced her out. Somebody paid $30,000 to become the chairman, and they bounced her out. This poor girl had worked 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. I know her very well. Same thing happened in Pennsylvania. Calling me up, said, hey, they're knocking us out. And this happens around the country. Not only that, in Florida, too. I mean, a lot of people say, hey, Florida's great. We don't have fraud. Heck, right near me in Palm Beach County, we got lawsuits going on against the supervisor of election who they say cheated on the last election. She got more votes than Harris did, which was impossible. You know what I mean? In Pinellas Park, Lawyer Ticton is representing a guy who ran for office, and all of a sudden on a Sunday, 173 ballots were sent out in the mail that nobody requested. So, and we've had people come on our election security thing, and I brought them on to do a lot of research. Who the heck prints the ballots? Nobody even knew about what that was going on. So we brought to their attention that let's say who is controlling, let's take Arizona where you're at. Let's say you needed 1 million ballots and they printed 1,100,000. Where did those 100,000 ballots go? Who's in control of those ballots? You know what I'm saying? So she did a lot of research and found a lot of fraud even on that. So there's so much fraud going on. But again, an answer to your question, by getting Heather Honey up in the department as the assistant to whoever as election integrity czar, this is unbelievable because now we have a person that's actually going to talk to President Trump about this election integrity, who I say is a fantastic person because she's a hardworking person. And being with Cleta Mitchell, who I'm on her Zoom every Friday, who has organizations that are around there. Now, we also had True to Vote. We had Catherine on, Engelbrecht. So in the past 3 years of us doing it, we've had over 400 different people on. We had Liz Harris, who you said. We had Marissa Hamilton, who's in Arizona. These are top people who are working around the clock. We had Urson Russell on from California. He's really great. Took me 6 months to get him. I had one of the guys who you need to have on, if you haven't, is Captain Seth Keschel. I don't know if you've ever had him on.
No.
Captain Seth Keschel took him 4 years. President Trump finally sent out a message saying how great he's doing. He has all the data that you want in Arizona. He can tell you how many people are Republicans, how many more were in this year, but he has great data. And he came on our show. And luckily, I love him because about 3 years ago, I was at one of the events and I wanted to get on somebody's show. And he just came up to me, gave me one of those Army little coins. He says, Steve, I want to appreciate everything you're doing. Let me get you on the show. Within a half an hour, I was on the show. And I believe it was actually in Arizona with Turning Point when I was at Turning Point. And I am going to
Okay.
be, what I'm going to do this time, I'm going to be at Turning Point this time with Raj Dejami, who's my co-producer of our election integrity. We are going to interview people for election integrity and precinct strategy at Turning Point and make it live, just like Steve Bannon does, and I'll get on his program too. And we will get more people involved because my main goal is to get people involved.
I
If
agree. Can you give
you
us a
don't get
teaser?
people involved, it's not going to happen.
No, I agree. And I want to become involved in this too. But can you give our audience a teaser, a couple of things about precinct strategy?
Yeah,
I
so
know.
what precinct, what precinct strategy is, and I ask everybody to go to www.precinctstrategy.com to really get the whole thing. But what it is a precinct strategy person, or a PC we call them, they go to meetings, they vote, but the main job is to get candidates elected. So what you do is you support the candidates, you get them, you try to get them people to work for them. You canvass neighborhoods, you do poll watches, you make phone calls. There's a lot of work. Now, in Broward County, we have 12 or 13 or 14 clubs. So not everybody's a PC. They don't want to work as hard, or they just want to belong to a club. They don't want to travel to, if you're in a club, let's say I'm in Weston, I'm the vice chair of Weston Republican Party Club, and we have 250 members. Now, just in Broward County, we only have 275 members. That's a problem because when I started with Bannon and with Schultz, there was 400,000 slots in the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, and we had 200,000 people involved. Today, 4 years later or 5 years later, we got 400,000 slots and we got 200,000 people involved. What does that mean? That means that people want you to do it and me to do it, and they don't want to work. So we have to bring people up. Now, when you have 250 people, you don't think everybody works. A lot of people think it's a social club. You got about 10 people that really work like we do, and it makes it a big difference. So we're running a big thing here called Reagan Day, where we have we'll show you that. That's going to be on our September 13th, where we have Byron Donalds, we're going to have John Fredericks, we're going to have the head of the Republican Party for Florida speaking. So it takes a lot of work. Now, we have two or three people working with us. We need a 50 people. Now, we do have volunteers who are going to be out there, and it's going to be a huge event, but it takes huge amount of time to get people to come. This is going to be the biggest event we ever had. We're going to have about 420 people. Last year we had 310. And then we have a event at Trump International Golf Course. So, and again, people say, "Hey, Steve, you got so much energy. I heard you on the show. You just don't stop talking. You know everything that's going on. You get people involved. How does that happen?" You got to be born with that. And you got to have passion. If you don't have passion for what you do, and I don't care what you do, it's never going to happen. So I've been lucky because, God came down. I was just, a lot of people ask me, "Well, what did you do for a living and what do you do?" Well, I'm in the apparel business. When I was 18 years old, I was in Dallas, Texas, standing at in a men's apparel show that I went to. And I'm standing and looking at this booth, and a gentleman who was 80 years old, I was 18, comes up and says, "Son, what are you looking at?" I said, "Well, I'm looking at those shirts." He says, "Well, you're a smart guy." He said, "I'm going to tell you who I am. I own half of Laguna Beach." He said, "I've been selling pennies for many years, and I want to get out of here because I'm 80 years old and I want to enjoy my life." He said, "I need a guy like you to take over this for me because I am only consulting pennies. I am no longer doing this. But if you go to pennies, buy these shirts, change the labels, you will be a successful guy." Well, that's what happened. This was called a banded bottom shirt, a shirt that has a banded bottom on it. I put them up at one of my shows. Two guys from Pompano, Florida, pennies came. From there on, I sold them $14 million a year for 44 years. I designed a line of shirts for them. And again, I was on the phone constantly with all the stores because people don't care. You know what I'm saying? They were able to buy stuff, but they didn't, they were busy all the time. They didn't do their job. So the buyer gave me the computer runs, and I was able to do something like that. So, I'm a passionate guy. I believe in what I do. So I gave most of the business to my son so we could do this and try to save the country where we can do this. So that's pretty much where I'm at. But I know we only have a few minutes left, but I want to show you something that's really fantastic. Because a lot of people say, "Steve, why do you do this? And how do you continue to do this?" Well, I was having a birthday on May the 20th, and I went to New York, and I came back on the 20th. And in my mailbox, my wife got a letter, and I don't know if you guys can see this. Can you see this letter with the little,
No, I can't see it, but let's read it too for the people who only hear this on audio.
right. So my wife ripped the envelope. Now, you know how God comes down and, does something. Well, when you rip an envelope, you rip what's going on in the envelope. But this didn't rip for whatever account. So I'm going to read to you, and I'm not sure anybody can see this,
No,
but it
you
says,
have to read it.
"Dear Steve, we join your family and friends in wishing you a happy 81st birthday. Our nation is strong because of hardworking patriots like you who believe in and defend the great American ideals of faith, family, community, and country first. Your commitment to excellence and dedication to exemplifying the American dream through ingenuity, hard work, and principled leadership is the foundation of your tremendous success and demonstrates the proud spirit of family-owned and operated business. As you celebrate this special day, we hope your heart is filled with joy, knowing that you've experienced our country's greatest blessings, freedoms, and the affection of your loved ones. Melania and I send our very best wishes for your continued health, happiness, success. Happy birthday. May God bless you and your family, Donald Trump. Now, you know, how he did this or how he got this to me or why or how they even got my address, I have no idea. But it came from Mar-a-Lago. And it certainly, I was ready to retire and not do this anymore. And it inspired me to continue doing it because somebody like the President of the United States saw what I did. I guess Liz Harrington told him and showed him one of the shows on Steve Bannon. And he did this. And I thought that was sensational. And, you know, to get something like this really generates all this stuff. And I get a lot of gifts from people all over the country. I want to show you a couple of the gentlemen sent me for my birthday. I don't know if you can see this. This is a USA gold ring. It's we have a 47 for my just my recent birthday. He sent me Trump 47 and a Trump ring and many, many other rings that he sent, which I thought was sensational. And I asked him on our last event if he would send me some. He sent me about 20 and I gave them to a lot of the people that had donated and they just loved it. I mean, you know, walk around with Trump or 47 on your finger with diamonds and stuff like that is sensational. So well, I'm very blessed and I'm glad to do this to help the country. And I'm so happy that you had me on the show because, you know, it was tough getting all of you, but you know, Stern never gives up. He knocks on the door and, you know, Sam Anthony, we love him. Yournews.com. I want to at least bring it up.
We have Sam on the show.
Right. Yeah. No, I've seen he sends me everything. He and I work together every day. And Sam puts what we do is we put articles all over. And I also have another friend in California, just like Sam, Norm, who has TotalNews.com. So you got Yournews.com in Florida and you got TotalNews.com. And he's actually his brother's in Arizona. And his name is Ray Michaels. I don't know if you know Ray. He's a chairman in Arizona. You may want to have them on. They are fantastic people also. And, you know, I have to balance it because I love them both. And, you know, even though I favor Sam more because I'm an investor there, we need those type of people because we need to get.
I hear you. I want to mention if the audience is not familiar, we've had Sam on quite a few times, but he's revolutionizing media. Zip code to international. And he's going to put the mainstream media on its deathbed. They're close now, but I think he's going to complete the job. But one of the things that, you know, I'd like you to do when you have time, you come across somebody, you go, this is someone that needs to be heard, send it to me, but send me an 100%. Email until we figure out why our text messages are blocked.
Well, I think you have to go through your phone and it says blocked. Probably when you hit it once or something. I'm sure it is because I've called at least 30 times and texted you 50 times. Has to be not done. We'll figure it out. Don't worry
about it. Yeah, but you got my email.
You want, we've got pretty much have their number. And I'm sure that if I call them, they'll come on your show because we need to get the word out. Now, President Trump did a very smart thing. I want to end. Maybe we only have a few minutes with this, that he got on podcast. His son, you know, his newer son, told him to get on podcasts for young people. And that's another thing. You notice how he got more young vote than any other presidential thing for the Republican Party, because the young people, when they heard him, and, you know, he's very smart. And I got to tell you one thing that I'll tell all you people, because a lot of people never going to get to meet President Trump. But that man has a memory. When I was in some of these conferences with him, he just knew everything. And when he does, he always asks questions. He always asked for it. Now, he's going to do what he wants, but he asked people what they think. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? He wants to hear this because, you know, and there's nobody that has the energy of President Trump. I mean, we've seen him all over the country. I mean, nobody knows how he does it. You know what I'm saying? Because it's unbelievable. And we need to find somebody to back him up here for the next election. We also need to get the people off their butts, because the 2026 election is very important to hold the House, because if we lose the House, we're going to start to hear all these things with, you know, against President Trump again. And hopefully he gets some of these people like Adam Schiff and some of these who are real treason people. Do you know what I'm saying? And, you know, it's so important. So I want to leave.
I'm counting the days, Steve. Like I said, I think you can tell from my tone here. I won't say I'm impatient, but I'm certainly open to right now. We need to have a couple of big time prosecutions. And I don't, and Letitia James, to me, that's small fry stuff. And I understand that Trump needs to make an example out of her at the AG level. I get that. But the people doing voter fraud, I don't mean the person who votes in three states. I'm talking the people that perpetrate it. We need to put some of these people in prison, and we think we need to do it quickly.
Yeah, with the illegals that they're trying to get out of this country, because you can only get so many out per month, per week, per day. I mean, there's so many things going on. And all of a sudden, 2 years go by, and now you have an election. So people are going to start to, President Trump's going to be going around the country talking to help people win the elections, because there's so many people he's endorsing. He's got to get out there. So he's going to be back on the road. I mean, we need the people. We have a lot of people. See, one thing he can't do. If you remember the last election when he won, he got a lot of people in office that turned against him. This time, he's taken a lot of those people out of action and putting good people in. But we still have people in the government that are anti him, and you could see this every day where we're getting killed. So, and we also got to worry about now today. Yesterday they came back and said, "Well, you can't do these tariffs." Yeah, did you see that? I
I
mean,
saw
another
that.
crazy thing. You know what I mean? So now he's got to fight to get these terrorists back in, because these countries have taken advantage of us for all this time. And the good news is we have a lot of people, and Seth can give you this, where the Democrats are turning to Republicans, because they have no, I mean, they're going so far left that the Republicans are picking up people. I mean, just in Queens, 6,000 Democrats either turn Republican or independent. Now,
Yeah,
this is
I know it's shifting. I've made this prediction, and it may be sound a little outlandish, but the Democratic Party is going to go the way of the Libertarian Party. It's going to so decrease in numbers. I actually think the liberal part of MAGA, the rhinos, so to speak, like Collins and Murkowski and these people, they are going to step aside and form their own party at some point. And I think that'll be the two-party system going forward. And I think it's going to take a couple of elections, but I see it coming. The Democrats are done. The majority of America is not going to support what they're promoting in their radicalization. They're not. And so what we're looking at here is a party that's going to sink itself. The only thing hope they have is they can cheat enough to win enough elections to disrupt the next president.
Well, they can't do that anymore, because when you see this executive order that President Trump comes out, he has promised as one of his main things to do that. The big thing is that Tipton and Corsi, there's seven attorneys looking at that, because it takes a lot. People don't understand. They just think an executive order comes out. It takes months to make sure that all the wording is correct and everything is, so because they're gonna sue him. Immediately when he does that, they sue him on everything. Look what happened in Florida with our Alligator Alley thing, where
Yeah.
they try to
Yeah.
close it down. It's but if we got another million people to get in the grassroots like we did on 100,000 more poll watchers and poll workers, people, what happened was, as soon as we won the election, people retired. They said, "Well, we won the election, President Trump's gonna do everything." They don't understand that you have to keep working day and day night. You cannot just quit. And that's what we try to do. I mean, there's
I
three or four people doing this. We're like one man shows, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're more than a one-man show now. And I would say this, I want to leave with this final message to my audience, and that is how to follow your good work.
So we can go to Stern American Rumble. Everything is up there, all my interviews. You can go to sstern1054 at gmail.com to find out how to get involved. You can go to www.precinctstrategy.com. Everything is on there. It's got every state, because see, every state is not the same. There's executive committees, town
Right,
committees.
right.
So there's a
We're
lot of difference.
up
And
against the clock right now, Steve, but I gotta tell you, it's been good having you on. I want to thank you personally for what you're doing, because 6.5 years ago, when I started down the road of voter fraud, I felt there was just a few of us, and we were greatly outnumbered, and we suffered for it. And I really appreciate what you're doing, and we're going to try to drive some people your way, and I look forward to having you on again.
well, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure having you. Have a nice holiday.
You
And
too.
we'll make sure we get this out for you also on our thing. We have over 100,000 people that we send emails out to. So as soon as we get the raw, then we're glad
well,
to.
We're going to push those numbers a little bit. Thanks a lot for coming on.
Got it. And I always end up with action, action, action. And thank you for having me on.
I agree. Take care, my friend. Hello, America. Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget to sign up for our newsletter, one-stop shopping for the multiple releases we do every single day. And you want to do it now. All you got to do is go to thecommonsenseshow.com, click on the newsletter link. We don't sell your data. Put in your email address, and you'll get an updated email of everything we've done in the previous 24 hours. Over 50,000 people have done it. It's convenient, and best of all, it's free. Just go to thecommonsenseshow.com, follow those directions, and you'll be permanently informed by the things that we do. We are brought to you by tremendous product, tremendous. Chuck Defense is what we call it. Chuck Norris, star of stage and screen. But before that, world champion multiple times over, kickboxer. This guy's a man's man. He's in his 80s. He looks like he's in his 40s. And Chuck has just done incredible things with his lifestyle, his diet. There's three really bad foods. He says, you got to avoid these like the plague. And what he ends up saying is that if you stop using these foods, your digestion will improve, appearance will improve, your energy will return, you won't have the joint issues. It's amazing how much you can improve just by stopping this. Now, Chuck has made a video, and you can watch the video for nothing. All you got to do is go to chuckdefense.com/Dave. That's chuckdefense.com/Dave. Well, we have interesting revelation here. We really do. Cracker Barrel. When woke goes broke and they start to choke, that's when they change. I wonder how long this CEO is going to keep her job. She went from emblem of an old man next to the restaurant sign to nobody next to the restaurant sign. The sign was so bland that they came up with that it looked like it was something that belonged on a fifth grade lemonade stand. I'm thinking, this isn't attracting anybody. The wisdom of the old brings you to Cracker Barrel. Here's the kind of people you find here, just average Americans. That's what the first image conveyed. And you can make mistakes in marketing. I fully recognize that. And it's not really worthy of criticism other than go back to what you were doing. But the CEO, you know, she reminds me of the old saying that my dad used to say, the more you stir human excrement, the worse it stinks. And she did some stirring. In particular, she said, if MAGA doesn't like what we're presenting, go eat somewhere else. Oh my gosh, does she realize over half the country is MAGA? Do you understand how she just cut her base? You know, we've got relatives that love Cracker Barrel. I've never been a big fan, to be honest with you. But they love it. And after this debacle, they said, we ain't going back there. We voted against woke. We don't want that crap. I don't know what kind of message you're trying to send, but we ain't buying it. And that was what America said. Now, today, Cracker Barrel, not the CEO, a spokesperson said, we've heard you, we've listened, and we're going back to the old symbol. This CEO's days are numbered. And when are you people going to learn? Target went woke, and they got rid of their CEO, and they're still having money issues. People that want to be in business today in America, you're allowed to present whatever you want, as long as you're not harming anybody. But if you want to be successful, you got to listen and cater to your audience. And when you're doing things that your audience takes offense to in large numbers, what do you expect is going to happen to your bottom line? Another lesson here from the Common Sense Show. Thank you so much for joining us. And like I said, make sure that you sign up for that newsletter, thecommonsenseshow.com. Click on the newsletter link. Become part of what we do every day.